For the benefit of those who have come for the very first time here, maybe wondering who is this Brother Ian, so many people spoke about. For your information, Brother Ian Robson was co-founder, along with Brother Zach, co-founder of this church, CFC Bangalore. For the last 50 years, they worked together, and his contribution was immense, and it pleased the Lord to call him home two Sundays back on the 8th of September, and we miss him very badly. May the Lord comfort, strengthen, and bless the bereaved family. Today we have some baptisms. Some of them are from non-Christian background, some of them are from Christian background. And some of them, before they came here to CFC, they had taken baptism in their church where they used to go earlier. But then they realized after coming here, they didn't know what repentance was. And they understood it in a proper way. And then they want to take it a second time meaningfully. It is scriptural that if you have not taken baptism properly the first time, without knowing what it means and without repenting of your sins, then it is scriptural that you take your baptism a second time properly. We have scripture for that in Acts chapter 19, where Paul went to Ephesus and found some disciples, it says. And he asked them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And they said, "We haven't heard anything about the Holy Spirit." And then he asked them, "In what were you baptized then?" They said, "We were baptized in John's baptism." Then he baptized them again, and then he prayed for them, laid his hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And it is very important for us to know, dear brothers and sisters, what precedes baptism. Some people say, "I have taken baptism," as if it is a ticket to heaven. Baptism is not a ticket to heaven. Baptism follows repentance. Repentance comes first. The Bible is replete with repentance, starting from Genesis to Revelation. God wants his people to repent. Not only his people, the whole world. Because as far as God is concerned, the whole world stands condemned before him, because the Bible says there is none righteous, not even one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if God says there is none righteous, not even one, that includes every one of us. So it is only right for us to agree with God and do what he says. And we read in Genesis chapter 4, the first man who was born on earth. Cain was the first man to be born on earth, as Adam was created by God. And Cain had a brother called Abel. And when they offered a sacrifice to God, God had regard for Abel, it says, and then for his sacrifice. He didn't have regard for Cain, therefore he didn't have regard for Cain's sacrifice. Because of that, Cain got angry and jealous, and he killed his brother later on. And when he killed his brother, before that, God asked him, "Why are you angry? Why is your face fallen?" And God says, "If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up also?" That means, if you repent, will you not be restored? That's in Genesis chapter 4. And all through in the Old Testament, God wanted his people to turn away from their sins and come back to him in contrition. And we read even in the New Testament, when the New Testament begins, the first page, or rather the second page in chapter 3 of Matthew, we read in verse 2, when John the Baptist began his ministry, he started proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He didn't come around with some pep talk and say, "God loves you, you guys, we smile, and Jesus loves you," like we have, you know, some people carry that badge, "Smile, Jesus loves you." He didn't come with such kind of watered down message. He said, first word that John the Baptist said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And then comes Jesus after that in chapter 4 of Matthew, verse 17. It's almost the same word that Jesus repeats. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Why is repentance so important? It not only begins, the New Testament not only begins with repentance, all through the New Testament, it speaks about repentance. For instance, just before Jesus ascended to heaven, you read about that in Luke chapter 24, what he said to his disciples. Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, he said to his disciples, "Preach repentance and forgiveness of sins. It should be proclaimed in the name, in his name," that is Jesus' name, "to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem." This is just before Jesus ascended to heaven. He commissioned his disciples, "Go and preach repentance." And even the Apostle Paul, when he was almost towards the end of his life, you know what he says in chapter 20 of Acts, verse 21, he says, "Solemnly I am testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance to God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." Repentance from the beginning till the end. And Jesus, just before ascending to heaven, he said, "Go and preach repentance." But even after he went to heaven, he said to his disciple John, he told, "Tell these churches," about seven churches he spoke to in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. You read seven churches, out of which two were okay. They were good churches. Jesus had nothing to correct them or to rebuke them about. But to five churches and the elders of five churches, Jesus said, "Repent." From heaven, he is writing to them through John, telling them to repent. See the importance of repentance. Even after Jesus went to heaven, he is wanting men to repent. So repentance is not just once for all experience, my dear brothers and sisters. Initial repentance we all have to have. We think that we are okay, we are righteous just because we have come from a good background, good family upbringing and things like that. And we may not have committed gross sins like robbing a bank or murdering somebody or things like that. We think only such are sins. But the Bible says, whoever is angry with his brother, he has already committed murder. Whoever has already lusted with his eyes after a woman has already committed adultery in his heart. The New Testament standards are way higher than the Old Testament. In the Old Covenant, it was said, "Thou shalt not murder, and thou shalt not commit adultery." But Jesus said, "I say unto you, if you are angry with your brother in your heart, you already murdered him." If you lusted after somebody who is not your wife, you already committed adultery. These are high standards that Jesus kept for us, which is impossible for us to attain to or to obey. But Jesus said, I will go to the Father and I will send the Holy Spirit who will help you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon them, they receive power. And because of the indwelling Holy Spirit's power, they were able to put to death the deeds of the body, the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that is how they came to the Lord. And they were able to live a victorious life. And Jesus has called us to live that victorious life. He says in Romans 6:14, he says, because now you are not under law, you are not under the Ten Commandments. Now you are in the new covenant. And because you are under grace, grace is not a license to sin, my dear brothers and sisters. Grace is power from God. Jesus said to Paul when Paul prayed that his bodily illness or thorn in the flesh to be removed, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. Power, my power is perfected in your weakness. So grace is power. So when you are under grace, sin will not have dominion over you, it says, Romans 6:14. So you are freed and you will be continually freed from besetting sins, sins that entangle you now and then, make you trip up and fall. The Holy Spirit within you will enable you and He will help you and strengthen you from within by the Word of God as you keep storing God's Word in your heart and as you keep meditating upon God's Word. The Bible says, the psalmist says, Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. God's word, as we keep on meditating upon them, chewing upon them, and treasuring them in our heart, it strengthens our inner man, strengthens our resolve to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. That's what Jesus did. It says about Jesus in Hebrews 1:9, He hated lawlessness and loved righteousness. Because of that, God the Father anointed him with the oil of gladness above his companions. It says, if you want to be anointed with the oil of gladness, you want to be rejoicing always, and all the time you want to be a happy, rejoicing Christian, then let the Word of God be your spiritual food. And may you come under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And when you come under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the hold that Satan had on you will be broken. It says in Galatians 1:13 and also Colossians 3:13, that God has delivered you from the domain of darkness and He has delivered you from the curse of the law and has placed you in the kingdom of light, in the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. So you don't belong to the kingdom of darkness anymore, my dear brothers and sisters who are taking your baptism today. Tell the devil that he has no hold on you. It's been broken because you have come to the Lord Jesus and He has broken that yoke which was upon you. You are no longer in the kingdom of darkness. You have been removed from there and you have been placed in the kingdom of light, in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, where the curse has been broken. The hold of Satan has been broken. He has no hold on you. You can talk back to the devil and say, Satan, I don't belong to you anymore. I belong to Jesus. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. I give myself to Him. So, dear brothers and sisters, those of you who are taking baptism, baptism is symbolically you're testifying to the world and to the spirit realm, the demons. You're serving a notice to them that you are a new creation in Christ. If any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And it will become new as you yield yourself to the extent that you yield yourself to the Lord. To that extent, the Lord will keep changing you, transforming you from glory to glory. And you will become, as it is written in Romans 8:29, the ultimate goal of a Christian, the work the Holy Spirit does ultimately is to make you and me to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That is our goal. That is the goal that God has for His children. So, my dear brothers and sisters, baptism is symbolic of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So, as you go into the waters of baptism, it's a kind of funeral service that we are conducting, spiritually speaking, but we will immediately lift you up. Don't worry about that. So you're symbolically going into the waters like being dead and buried, and then you'll be raised again to a new life. And you're testifying to the spirit world of a change that has happened inside of you. Externally, you're testifying to that.